And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, man, there are so many things happening, by the way. Before I jump into the next part of the Triple Dipper, I gotta tell you, we just had a breaking news piece up on the TV screen in the studio here that apparently, and I'm looking around trying to find a news source for it online, but apparently Elon Musk just tweeted out that he is planning to release at 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern, all the documents at Twitter related to the Hunter Biden laptop suppression. Oh, shoot. The pucker factor in D.C. just went up about 9 notches. I'm just saying. Yeah, boy. That's right. They're going to be having to sit on donut pillows pretty soon, looks like. But all right, so enough of that. But the reality is the world has been wanting to know, what the heck? I mean, it appears, and he's already said it, if I'm not mistaken, just the other day, Musk literally said in an interview or perhaps in a back-and-forth tweet, I'm not sure, that there is basically there was electioneering on the part of Twitter during the 2020 campaign. There are many who believe right now that had the Hunter Biden story that was broken by the New York Post been allowed to run its course, that it would have prevented a lot of people from voting for Biden, or it would have driven more people to the polls for Trump. All said and done, the narrow margins of that election may well have been different had news been allowed to be news. I mean, when you're looking at a story like, I mean, stop and think about it. Those who track this know the Hunter Biden laptop. If you remember, if you haven't been tracking it, I'll just give you the quick refresh. But a guy that runs a computer repair shop, I believe it's in Delaware, had a laptop that just got abandoned there that was brought in by Hunter Biden for repair. So he's like working with it. He starts realizing, oh my gosh, there's some stuff on this laptop that I shouldn't be seeing. I need to call somebody. I mean, we're talking about, you know, photographic evidence of drug use, prostitution, emails related to international business dealings with foreign nations while his father was a vice president, the same nations his father was negotiating with. And then it got worse when you begin to realize that it was also alleging in some of those emails that, you know, perhaps Joe Biden was benefiting from his son's business dealings. All this stuff is on the laptop. What a knucklehead. I mean, that's like saying, I don't care anymore, and here's the evidence. Either A, I'm so brazen, you can't touch me, or B, I'm just a knucklehead with a complete indifference to what reality says I should care about. Either one's bad. The bottom line is the laptop story broke. It became a thing. It was turned over to the FBI. What's the FBI done with it? Pretty much nothing since then. But what also happened was immediately social media giants, Facebook, Twitter, and the others, decided to deplatform that story. It was not allowed. It was completely suppressed. And if I'm not mistaken, the New York Post even had their Twitter feed completely just taken down. And when you do something like that, when you consider that Pew Institute research shows that something like 72% of all Americans get news off of Twitter, what that basically means is they're not like, well, some are probably just reading the tweets. What I'm saying is there's any number of stories that are linked on there. And when this is shut down like that, when that's the public square and it's not allowed to go forward, could that in fact be electioneering? And I wonder, did the Biden campaign ask for it? If they did, we got an even bigger problem. More on that, and coming back with the next one of the Dippers, the anti-U.S. agenda. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, I'm moving to number two of the Triple Dipper. Right before I do that, let me just make a suggestion to you, all right? So Just Love Coffee Cafe, been with us now for quite a while. This show is about a year and a half old, and the majority of that time, Just Love Coffee Cafe has been here. So tomorrow morning is Saturday. It's going to be a pretty, you know, brisk morning in North Alabama. Let me just suggest to you that you may want something different on a Saturday morning. How about this? Instead of dirtying up the kitchen, or for that matter, just having a bowl of cereal, how about you just, you know, throw on your flannel pants and go on down to Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other in South Parkway in Huntsville. And I would just strongly suggest you consider looking at their breakfast menu as the thing you won't get anywhere else. Like the Womlet. It's an omelet cooked in a waffle iron that is filled with everything in the world to include tater tots. And then you've got waffles, and you've got fruit, and you've got, you know, biscuits, and you got, I mean, listen, and all that, it's Just Love Coffee Cafe. So, you know, there's the treat coffees, like Charlene calls them. You can get a cappuccino or a latte or espresso, or for that matter, just have them grind the beans on some fresh, hot, award-winning dry roast coffee. Listen, Just Love Coffee Cafe. Check it out for your Saturday morning. I think you'll enjoy it. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. That would be good. Have we got a caller on the line one, bud? I'll do that real quick before I jump in. Line one, Sparky. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, man?
Hey, happy Friday to you and Boomer.
Yes, sir. You too.
I was listening to your last topic and anticipating the next one. I mean, there's a direct correlation between the two topics. The frustration that most of us responsible, law-abiding taxpayers feel with the realization that there's a two-tiered system of justice perpetrated out of Washington, D.C., where crooks like Hunter Biden, crooks like Joe Biden, egregious crooks like Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, and all these characters are never going to be prosecuted, are never going to be put in jail for crimes that would put you and I in prison forever. And with the aid and abetment of a mainstream media who gleefully normalize or hush away their criminal behavior. And they must be making so much money off of our tax dollars that they gleefully line their pockets with gold, knowing they're never going to go to jail. And they've got a profoundly anti-American, what you and I know as traditional Judeo-Christian, fairly conservative America. It's staggering that we don't have events like what they perceive January 6th on a daily basis, given the outrageous nature of their crimes and their attitudes about it.
Yeah,
using our tax dollars.
I think, Sparky, one of the ones that quickly comes to mind is here we are looking at the former president of the United States, now a political candidate for president again, Donald Trump, has his home raided allegedly because there are classified documents in his possession that he should not have otherwise had, even though he could have declassified them. While at the same time, we know for a fact that Hillary Clinton had a private server at her home filled with classified emails, and they took a hammer to it and destroyed the hard drive rather than turn it over, and ain't nobody said boo about it ever since.
No, and how much training did you suffer in your time in the Army on cyber awareness and protection of classified information materials? You and I know if we sent one wrong email or took one document and mishandled it, we'd be thrown out of the Army. We'd do a year or two in Leavenworth, and we would be completely hosed. And these people are so smug and arrogant, and they know they're always going to get away with it. Very frustrating to those of us who know better.
Well, and you are so right, man. And you know, if you remember right, there was a kid, a young submariner who took pictures on his cell phone because he was proud of the submarine that he was on and posted them to his social media, and he got excoriated, and I think he got a dishonorable discharge and maybe even some prison time at the same time that Hillary Clinton's server was considered a questionable issue and no standards being held across the board there.
Absolutely. I think if you've ever met a conservative who was pretty gleeful in 2016 when Hillary lost the election that was hers, she expected it. She knew it was hers. I think that's about the only justice we're ever going to get with a criminal like Hillary Clinton, was knowing that she was egregiously, unbelievably unhappy for losing the election that she had been told was hers,
yeah,
that she was guaranteed with hers. And that sounds very unchristian and snarky and petty of me and those of us who took great glee in her loss. But it was what it was. It's the only justice we're ever going to see for that woman, and indeed the entire Clinton crime family.
And not just glee at the moment, but satisfaction in the thereafter. Can you imagine if she had been president over the next 4 years thereafter? I mean, the things we went through. I mean, good Lord. Wow.
Oh, yeah. You think the FBI and the Department of Justice were getting away with murder leading into her protecting her status? Well, actually they have, and they've got worse, so... I don't know. It would have been worse, I think.
Sparky, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate you.
Happy weekend.
Yeah, you too, bud. All right. Hey, listen, we'll keep watching. If we have to break over to a story on it, what we know right now and what kind of sparked that, sparked the conversation with Sparky. You like the way I did that? What sparked the conversation with Sparky in part was the fact that I just announced a moment ago that it appears that Elon Musk has a trove of documents. I mean, old boy's been going through the house, you know what I'm saying? He bought the house, and the previous tenant just left everything where it was. He's been opening up the bedroom closets and looking in the dresser drawers and finding stuff left and right. And he tweeted out the other day that he basically said that Twitter was guilty of electioneering in the 2020 elections. And he said, announced today, if you didn't hear me say it earlier, that at 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern, that all of the documents related to the Hunter Biden suppression, laptop suppression at Twitter will be released. And, man, I can't wait. Text line, Jerry from Meridianville, to the things that Sparky just said, amen, Sparky. So, Sparks, there you go. You got some. And John from Huntsville says, I never fail to make him hungry. So, talk about Just Love Coffee. All right, let me ask you this. Number two of the Triple Dipper. The anti-U.S. agenda. Let's talk from a historical perspective. You know, next to the United States, and well, I take it back. I mean, you might look at the great British Empire at the height of its reach, but the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, there are several over time which have truly been empires, and of course, Rome sort of sets the standard. Rome during its time. Conquered what was called the known world, and yet it went away. I mean, why? How do you get that big, and then just stop? Well, historians truly believe that the majority of what happened to the Roman Empire happened as a result of policies from within, and there were external factors, but it was the internal policies that allowed the external factors to have their sway. So Victor Davis Hanson wrote a piece that I'm going to get into here in a few minutes, and it's called, If You Really Want to Destroy the U.S., Then, and he lists the things you could do. Funny, a lot of them are already happening. Before I do that, what I want to go into is a piece that I've got that literally explains the reasons why Rome fell. Historians say, to some level of agreement or at least acknowledgement, these are the things that we think caused the fall of Rome. And we'll break this down, because the reasons why Rome fell, you can sort of see them now. So I'll tell you what, Boomer, we're about a minute ahead of schedule. Let's go ahead and take the break now. That'll be a great way to come right back in and jump right into this. So we'll take the break right now. I'll come right back. Number two of the Triple Dipper on a Friday afternoon, the anti-U.S. agenda. Fall of Rome, does it compare? Yeah, I think it does. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, real quickly, I will tell you that on the text line, Kimball from Harvest has said, Elon Musk's timing of the release of the Biden documents is really interesting. The last business day of the week in Washington, little time to spend. The swamp is going to have to bite its fingernails over the weekend. It should be interesting to see what the administration says on Monday morning. Yeah, and I'll be honest, I'll be also waiting to see, Kimball, if Musk is already being scheduled to make the Sunday talk show circuit. We'll find out. But there's that. And New York Post has already got a story up about it, among others. But New York Post, I went to theirs because they were the ones who had the laptop story and had themselves had their entire platform was suppressed. But they say, yeah, Elon Musk says he will release the details on Friday afternoon about Twitter's decision to censor the Post's scoop about Hunter Biden's infamous laptop. The tweet actually said, what really happened with the Hunter Biden story suppression by Twitter will be published on Twitter today at 5 p.m. Eastern, followed by a second tweet from Musk saying, this will be awesome. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I'm curious. All right. That being said, I also just had a text a moment ago. Oh, where was it? Somebody was saying that they understood. It was Craig from Gardendale, the man who called the FBI about the laptop, who followed the law, to my understanding, is being harassed. And, yeah, I've heard that before, too, Craig. You're right. All right, listen, let me jump over to number two of the Triple Dipper. Time now, 3:50. That's 15:50 for all you green suitors out there at Redstone Arsenal. Okay. 8 reasons why Rome fell. Listen, you got to look at history, and sometimes, if you know the old saying, if you don't pay attention to your history, you may be doomed to repeat it. But let me break down some of the reasons why there is a belief that much of what happened to bring down the Roman Empire happened from within. All right. One of the reasons it cites in this article that I've got in front of me from history.com. Economic troubles and over-reliance on slave labor. Now, keep in mind, some of these things have to be parallels. They're not direct, but they're correlations here that can be made. Number one, there is a real reason to believe that taxation and inflation hampered the economic development of Rome's empire, and the economy began to tank. When the economy began to tank, of course, then it has second and third order effects. One of the other things that happened, though, was the people of Rome themselves became disinterested in working. So you said slave labor, Phil? Yeah. In other words, you couldn't pay them to go to work anymore. They just paid other people to do it for them. What are we seeing right now in society? What are we seeing right now? How about in the pandemic? I mean, right now, Alabama's unemployment rate is great, but the labor participation rate is awful. The labor participation rate clearly indicates that there are people to this day who have just chosen not to re-enter the labor force. They're not even looking for a job. How long did we go as a nation? Alabama got out earlier, and I'm glad. How long did we go as a nation, though, basically paying people more to stay home than they would have made if they'd just gone to work? But when they do that, then there's no widgets being made. The supply chain breaks down. Listen, the fall of Rome, historians believe that a big part of it was economic troubles and over-reliance on slave labor, meaning they were having economic difficulties and the labor participation rate was way down among Roman citizens. All right, next one, mass migration. What? Yes, I kid you not. There was zero control of their borders at some point, and as a result, a mass migration by the Huns and the barbarian tribes began to sweep across the borders. And without any border controls whatsoever, the mass migration began to weaken Rome from within. They could not sustain the influx of new citizenry who did not answer to the higher call to be a citizen of the empire, who didn't pay taxes, who didn't participate in actually growing the empire. They were there to basically leech off of it. And so a mass migration of the Huns and Germanic tribes literally caused a surge. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. It says a surge across its borders and then to even occupy places like Britain, Spain, and North Africa. And that was considered one of the downfalls of the Roman Empire was they could no longer control their borders. They didn't have good border policy. And there was a mass migration of humanity across their borders that they couldn't sustain once it got there. Interesting. What's happening on our southern border right now? Oh, that's right. Mass migration. Don't kid yourself. This is not These are not illegal immigrants. This is a mass migration. When you've got literally last month alone, we had 73,000 gotaways, just gotaways. And those are, by the way, when they say it's a gotaway, it's one they saw and chased and they couldn't catch them. We don't even know how many of those weren't seen. No control of the borders. Fall of Rome. What's the next one? Political polarization. What do I mean by that? Well, Rome at some point became so polarized that it literally split into two forms of governance, Eastern and Western empires, Constantinople and Byzantium, all right? They had two separate capitals. They squabbled constantly. Their political polarization drove them to the point that one side didn't care about the other side's business. They only wanted what was good for them. They didn't work anymore for the benefit of the empire. They worked for what was good for their party, in a sense. East versus West, in that case. Here, political polarization, you see it every day. You can't even get a true budget passed in D.C. They're constantly looking at overspending and constantly looking at infighting and constantly looking at things like the January 6th Commission and trying to drive a wedge, claiming that this is a pandemic on the unvaccinated, driving a wedge between people left and right. Political polarization in the Roman Empire was a part of what historians believe caused its downfall. How about this one? Overexpansion and military overspending. In other words, they built and they built till they could no longer sustain themselves. Well, you have to look at this in the comparison with where we are today in terms of we have built an economy, but that economy has requirements. And when you look at things like we're no longer maintaining energy independence, well, what we're doing is we have built something we can't sustain. We have to import our needs now. We are beyond what it takes to sustain what we have built, and they say that the very thing that I'm talking about in its day was a part of the downfall of the Roman Empire. How about this? A loss of traditional values. What? Yes. Now, the interesting thing is it was Christianity coming in and changing some things that caused a shift in values, but traditional values Rome's longstanding history and traditions began to fall by the wayside. They no longer held to the things that had made them Rome. They no longer held to things like the idea of the Republic and the idea of what it meant to be a society that honored its I don't want to say honored its own self, but cared about its image, if you will, and stewarded itself well. No, the traditional values began to fall by the wayside. What are we looking at right now in the United States? I think it's far too similar. Far too similar. And then the last one that I'll point out before we hit the break. The weakening of the Roman legions. The weakening of the military. Interesting. Because in the end, when you face an adverse opponent from outside your borders, who's supposed to help you with that? Your military. And it says that Rome got to the point that it couldn't even recruit enough soldiers to the Roman, and they had to hire mercenaries. The once mighty legions, it said, began to change. It used to be that the Latin words barbarous were considered to be antithetical to good order, but they began to call their soldiers barbarous because they were filled up with German Goths and others that they had to throw in the ranks. They had a depleted military. They had a military that lacked good order and discipline, and they began to basically go by the wayside and no longer be able to defend themselves. What are we looking at right now? Recruiting's down 40%. Morale's in the tank. We just finished a 20-year war with an awful pullout that sacrificed more lives in the process. And we have a woke standard and a CRT push right now from higher down to the lower ranks. I'm just telling you, everything I just said to you was about the reasons why Rome fell. And if you don't watch your history, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, in a minute, we're going to get into the second half of this discussion. A piece written by Victor Davis Hanson, looking at not just why Rome fell, but what are we doing to ourselves right now with policies that, like, if you wanted to destroy the U.S., what would you do? Well, he lists it, and it's going to sound way too familiar. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, local, state, national. We cover down on all the issues, man. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hour number three, Boomer. Wow.
Man,
where did this show go?
Past 2 hours. I don't have it.
There's no good answer for that.
There's no good answer.
Yeah, well, you know what? Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
All right, so listen, I just got a text, by the way. Chris from Madison, with regards to Rome, he said, hope your list also describes the debased appeasement and buy-off of the masses with games and entitlements to distract from the complete failure of government and enrichment of the elite. Wow. That was... good Lord. And I texted him back and I said, well, that's going to get read on the air right after the break. To which he replied back, summarized as government corruption. Yep, you are so correct. Hey, listen, Victor Davis Hanson, somebody who's, every time I listen to him, kind of like talking about Matt Clark earlier, every time I listen to Victor Davis Hanson, I just feel like I gain something from it. He's just an extremely deep and solid intellectual, very conservative. In fact, I love a book. We don't have this particular book up on my Right Side Radio recommended reading list on the website, rightsideradio.org. We don't have this book up, but I do recommend it. If you're a historian, if you're somebody who likes to read through the nuances of history and do some deep dives, he wrote a book called The Savior Generals. I believe it's five generals who he believes literally changed the course of a war by the sheer force of their own personality, their skill, their acumen, their experience. I mean, sometimes it's a variety of events. It's the civil, it's the military, it's the whole, you know, military complex, so to speak. He believes that there are some who, just because of that individual, you can say that they turned the tide. Anyway, Victor Davis Hanson, I love his stuff. He wrote a piece that came out in Town Hall yesterday, actually. Kind of in the same vein of what I did a minute ago with the fall of Rome. The headline caught my attention. He says, if you really wanted to destroy the U.S., then, and he goes through the list of things you could do to destroy the U.S. Listen to what he says. Number one, surrender our prior energy independence. Yeah. He says, cut back on production right when the world needs you to be emerging from a two-year lockdown, make war on coal and nuclear power, drain the strategic reserves, cancel the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, oil and gas field, block pipelines like Keystone, overregulate, demonize frackers. Oh, wait, we're doing that already. All right. That's number one of what Victor Davis Hanson believes you could do to help destroy America. Number two, print trillions of dollars in the new currency as the end of lockdown, demand rises, and consumers are already saturated with COVID-19 subsidies, but keep interest rates low, well below the rate of inflation, while you print more money. Yeah, and then watch inflation go up to a 40-year high. But then make sure you spread the wealth out even to those who already have enough money. Keep giving them more. And then flooding the market with capability of spending, but yet not keeping up with demand for goods and services. And oh, by the way, pay them to stay home. All right. Oh, wait. We've been doing that. Huh. That's check one, check two. Those things are already happening. What's third on his list of things you could do to destroy the U.S.? How about ending America's physical boundaries? He says, end any vestigial difference between a citizen and a resident. Just basically say, if you're here, it's the same as being a resident. You're just here. You just go ahead and increase the population by a pure level of percentage by allowing anyone to cross over the border. Make it just kind of amorphous. Anywhere you are, doesn't matter where you're from, you're here, we'll treat you like a citizen. There's no requirements of you. End America's physical boundaries. Yep. Yeah, seeing it already. This is almost depressing, but it's one of those things where you have to read it to be able to know it's there. Number four on Victor Davis Hanson's list of how to destroy the U.S., destroy public trust in elections. Oh, gosh. Yeah, well, okay, there you go. Render election day irrelevant. You know, that's why we have election month in some places or election seasons. Make proper auditing of 110 mail-in ballots impossible. Normalize ballot harvesting and ballot curing. Urge leftist billionaires to infuse their riches to absorb the work of state registrars. Blast election denialists as insurrectionists and democracy destroyers. Anyone who objects to the radical ballot changes, you must weaponize the government against them. Yeah, that sounds kind of familiar. That sounds kind of like a little too close to home. That sounds like, dadgummit, there it is. It's happening again. Number five on Victor Davis Hanson's list of things you could do to destroy the U.S., redefine crime as one rich man's crime is another poor man's necessity. What is he saying right there? What he's saying there is don't enforce the laws consistently across the board. If a poor person steals, just let them steal because they must have needed it. But if somebody who has means steals, well, by God, you throw the book at them. And so there's literal inconsistency in the manner in which laws are applied. And then, oh, by the way, just go ahead and turn a blind eye to crime in general while you're at it. Number six, junk the ossified idea of a melting pot and multiracial society united by common American values. Just instead, identify everybody by their superficial appearance. Seek to make them all victims and monetize their claims against their perceived victimizers and call anybody a racist who disagrees. Good Lord, where does that sound like? That sounds like life as we know it right now. That sounds like every week I do Adventures in Woke World, most of it involves just crap like that. How about this? Number seven on Victor Davis Hanson's list, render the United States nothing more than just another one of the nations abroad. We're not special. Why? We're not. There's no American exceptionalism. MAGA. MAGA means make America great again. Listen, we can't do that. We're part of the United Nations. We're part of the homogenous group of nations. There's no identity here. We seek to be one. Screw that. Eight, neuter the First Amendment and let Silicon Valley monopolies silence unwarranted free speech by using big tech. There you go. Number nine, demonize half the country as semi-fascist, un-American, insurrectionist, and even potential domestic terrorists. Just basically create divisions by labeling people and then throwing government at them. And then number 10, never mention the origins of the COVID-19 virus and make sure you never blame China for the release of the COVID-19 virus. And certainly don't hold any health officials accountable who may have helped subsidize Chinese gain-of-function research. And he points out everything he just said, and you know it. Y'all know it. I got an audience here that knows it as better or well as well as or better than I do. You know it. Everything I just said in there are things that are already happening. And it's amazing to watch. It's maddening to watch. And I'm telling you, folks, we can't sit idly by and just say, wow, that happened. No. It's not, wow, that happened. It's, wow, that's happening, but by God, it stops now. I mean, we're going to have to get serious. And there's going to have to be a more, and I don't want to say a seriousness about government, but you know what? How about we stop taking government less seriously and start taking it more seriously? How about we recognize that who you put in office and who they appoint to those offices actually does matter? Because the people who set policy need to be somebody who is policy serious. I want them to look at their jobs as not just that flight of fancy where I got to be a glass ceiling breaker, which we're going to cover some of that in a minute when we get into the next third dipper, cacistocracy. Because, oh, Lord God, there's a three-ring circus. There are times when I feel like, you know, looking up there at D.C. looks like the Hunger Games, and it's more like the Capitol than it is one of the outlying agencies or communities. Folks, I'm just telling you, what we saw in the fall of Rome is stuff that's happening now. What we're seeing in Victor Davis Hanson's article of what if he had to create a list of things he could use to destroy the United States, it's happening now. And I'm just, listen, I got a caller, bud. I'll do that. I'll tell you what, I'm on a rant. You better catch me right now. I'll take that call before I start burning up my microphone here. Who's on line one? Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. How are you doing, man?
Doing well and getting steamed over. He is absolutely accurate on so many areas, but I'm wondering if the number one keys to getting things into the situation that he's referring to is program the youth.
Wow. I can see that. I can see what you're saying. Yeah, make sure that the youth believe that all the things that we decided are things that are okay and you're just going to live with it. Don't let them have any idea of exceptionalism or what it means to promote the United States that their parents and grandparents supported.
Well, thank you very much. You all take care. Goodbye.
All right. Good to hear from you, Brian. All right. Well, listen, on that depressing note, Boomer, let's take a break. We're going to come back in a minute, though. Cacistocracy. Oh, there's your word. There's your Scrabble word of the week. We're bringing it back. I've got a list of the yokels who are running government, and when we go down this list, it's going to boggle your mind because cacistocracy, a government run by the least competent members of society. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.